And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Elber Feliz! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, thanks to Bud Light here in our second hour here. Tell you what, that intro, producer Jose Partida, was that Michael Carroll's work? Absolutely outstanding, and I love how he's inserted now La Pantarita Albert Elise for our Hondurans here in Houston. That's a great intro right there. That's got me pumped. Our thanks to Texas Children's Hospital for being the presenting sponsor of the first hour. Daspit Law Firm is the presenting sponsor of the second hour. I saw John Daspit at our watch party at FM Kitchen and Bar. A moment for John and his firm. They're personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-4878. Bilingual. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but if you do, car, boat, motorcycle. You may work here at a planter or a refinery. You may drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, working for you 24/7, nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com. All right, so a great friend to our soccer community, so well-known here in Houston, and a guy that I certainly miss not being in Houston right now. Recently in the news, Oliver, when he left the Houston Dynamo, Oliver Luck, headed up to West Virginia University, where he was the quarterback as a Mountaineer, was the head of the athletic department there, then went to the NCAA, and then, you know, all of a sudden I see something on my phone that says he's now going to be the commissioner of the XFL. So we welcome in Oliver Luck right now, and glad to have him on the program tonight.
Hey, Glenn, how are you? Nice to be on your show.
I'm good. So congratulations on the XFL. Now let's get to the real business at hand, the World Cup. Tell me how excited you are about it.
Well, you know, there are a number of sporting events I look forward to every year in a variety of sports, but I'm not sure that there's anything quite like the World Cup. And, you know, like everybody in this country, I'm disappointed that, you know, we the U.S. didn't make it. But, you know, nonetheless, I think this is such a fantastic sporting event. It's so much fun to follow. I'm really curious, you know, to see how the Russians sort of do it, right? Not just the games themselves. They'll be fine, I'm sure. But, you know, all the other activities around, you know, the World Cup, because it is the global sporting event, you know, more so than the Olympics, more so than probably any other event. So this is going to be interesting, you know, and I'm also, you know, as someone who was, you know, had a mom, my mother was born and raised in Germany. So, you know, I'm obviously a fan of the German soccer, but, you know, I'm also curious to see sort of where Americans, you know, divvy themselves up in terms of who they support, because it's so much more fun, of course, to watch a game, you know, having a rooting interest than we all want to see good soccer, of course, and I'm sure we'll see some unbelievable soccer in the World Cup, but it's fun to have a rooting interest. And I'm kind of curious to see where the Americans, given the absence of the U.S. team in the World Cup, given, you know, to see where we sort of end up in terms of our rooting interest. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of storylines out there, and a lot of people are kind of trying to figure out how that's all going to work. And like you said, a lot of it goes back to your heritage and you know, where your family's from. And I'm the same, you know, my mother's name was Nesselhoff. So, you know, I like the Mannschaft. I always have. I love the way the Germans have organized soccer in their country, and their development system's amazing. But, you know, I'm hearing all kinds of stuff. I'm hearing people going, you know what, I'm a U.S. fan, but I'm pulling for Mexico because they're our neighbors and they're CONCACAF. And there's every kind of reason under the sun.
Well, you know, I've always rooted for CONCACAF, right? I mean, yeah. We should. I mean, it's sort of our district, if you will, you know, in global soccer. And, you know, obviously Mexico will get, you know, the most support. But, you know, I think it's a sort of an interesting opportunity for CONCACAF. But, you know, I think there'll be American spread, you know, all across the board. You know, and I guess the other sad thing, right, Italy didn't make it either, right?
Yeah.
That's tough, yeah, because, you know, just, you know, the Italian-American population in this country.
Yeah, we have so many. No Netherlands, no Ghana. The Black Stars of Ghana don't go, who the U.S. has had such great. It's ironic that Black Stars of Ghana and the United States don't go at the same time with all their World Cup history. All right, so let's keep this rolling here, because I'm excited for Houston because of our diversity of people all over the world. The bars and pubs are going to be filled down here. I mean, I just think it's going to be so much fun this summer, and I think there's going to be a lot of people calling in sick from work.
Well, that's entirely possible. It's, you know, given sort of the heat and humidity in Houston in the summertime, it really is a great time to call in sick and, you know, get out to your local pub and watch the games. There are going to be some good games. There's no question about it. You know, I think over the years of watching World Cup, you know, going back to when I was a teenager and sort of all of a sudden, you know, World Cup was on television, I think of all those very memorable, almost indelible moments, you know, whether it's, Götze scoring a great goal, you know, in the final for Germany, or, you know, whether it's Maradona. I mean, there's so many, Baggio, there's so many great moments that really stick with you, and that's incredible, because that makes the sport, you know, a very important part of one's upbringing, and that's what embeds it, I think, in our psyches.
I remember the 86 Manuel Negrete goal at Azteca. How about the Jeff Hurst with a hat trick in 66? The only other person to score a hat trick in a World Cup final on the men's side is none. On the female side, it was Carly Lloyd, but just so many indelible moments. But that's the beauty of the event, right? Every 4 years, Oliver, and I get worried sometimes when I see, hey, we're going to 48 teams, and, the sanctity of this event, that's why it's so remarkable, because somebody from Tunisia, Iceland, Peru, somebody from a country that maybe is not in the superpowers of soccer, maybe a Korean player, maybe a Panamanian, maybe a Serbian, maybe a Costa Rican, are going to do something that's amazing, that's going to, it'll change their entire lives, and it'll be, you know, it's like us talking about Negrete's 86 goal at Azteca. It never
right.
will go
no, you're,
away.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And that's the beauty of the tournament as well. You know, the only sort of, you know, having been right for the last 3.5 years at the NCAA national office, and then prior to that, as you mentioned in your opening at West Virginia, you know, the only other event I think that goes on over, you know, a period of weeks is the NCAA tournament, in terms of events that can really compare themselves to the World Cup. And of course, you know, the tournament's really primarily a domestic event in the U.S., but it has a little bit of that same flavor, you know, mm-hmm. where kids can make themselves almost sort of immortal, you know, by hitting that shot at the end of the game, or, you know, buzzer beater or whatever, you know, to move their team forward through another round. And those are fun. Those are very special moments, obviously.
3 billion people expected to be engaged with the World Cup. I mean, it's just unbelievable to even think that. Do you worry a little bit about the sanctity of it, though? And, you know, I've heard people over the years, oh, we should have it every 2 years. I mean, the fact that we have to be patient is a big part of this, right?
Yeah, you know, there's a challenge, I think, in today's world, you know, when you say that less is more, right? Mm-hmm. And that's hard, because I think most of us are relatively impatient and want, you know, semi-instant or instant gratification. Every 4 years is a long time. Yeah, but then you think about, you know, the qualifiers and what they mean, and sort of the history of friendlies, and, you know, how the whole structure is set up. And then you also think about, you know, the challenge that, and still does have, that MLS has in terms of fitting itself, given its schedule, you know, into the global and the regional sort of structure of soccer. Those are all sort of tough decisions to make. But, you know, I think the way it works now is really nice. You know, I don't know if this is the perfect situation, but I'm not sure that, you know, you need to really tinker with it too much. And that goes as well for, you know, sort of FIFA's push for this, you know, club championship, right? World Club Championship, and how they want to expand that. So, you know, you have to be careful, right? Tradition is important. And I'm not sure there's a sport where tradition is more important than global soccer.
Does it ever jade you, Oliver, you know, that so many of the decisions around sports these days are not necessarily made for the sport itself, and they're made for financial reasons?
Well, you know, I'd probably take a little bit of a sanguine view in the sense that I think historically lots of decisions are made, you know, with economics in mind, right? Dollars may have been smaller, or whatever global currency we're talking about, it may have been smaller. But I think that historically a lot of decisions have been made with the sport in mind, so the competition itself, as well as, you know, the financial impact. We you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, right? And whether it's, you know, MLS or any other professional league, you know, you've got to sort of keep the economics in mind, because otherwise it could be, you know, sort of self-destructive. And we've seen that in lots of countries, you know, certainly with soccer, where leagues kind of, you know, come and go. So, you know, am I worried about it? A little bit, but I think it's been the case for a number of years.
Yeah, and I may have been saying that more specific to soccer. So let's move on. So XFL, now I'm thinking about my friend Oliver Luck, right? A lot of you is about purism. You're a purist when it comes to sports, but you also, to me, think out and you extend your boundaries when you look at whatever sport it is. So I see you with the XFL, and I know the XFL is going to try to reach a specific sort of demographic. Am I right saying that?
Well, I'll give you sort of the full story. So the XFL is a startup league that I think has incredible potential. Vince McMahon, who, you know, is a fantastic American entrepreneur who built WWE into a, you know, massive publicly traded company. You know, Vince is a football passionate person. You know, as you know, Glenn, I love both codes of football, but, you know, and very familiar, obviously, with our code, American football. And there's a tremendous opportunity to really be at the very ground floor of building what I believe can be a very sustainable league in a sport that, you know, 70 million Americans self-identify themselves as, you know, American football fans. So this was a really neat opportunity for me. Vince has vision. He has incredible leadership. He's a tremendous entrepreneur, and he's also capitalizing, you know, this effort to establish the XFL, and we're going to begin play in 2020. He's capitalizing this, you know, to a very significant level, and that doesn't happen very often, you know. So this was a tremendous opportunity, and I was very taken, you know, with this idea of reimagining the game of American football. And you know, ironically, some of the aspects of what we're looking at, sort of a fast-paced, you know, shorter game with fewer interruptions, really, quite honestly, resembles the way that the game of soccer, right, the game of European football flows. And so we're trying to get some of the best minds over the next number of months to really think about how the game of American football can be reimagined, how we can kind of, you know, package it and you know, keep those things that people love about football, but also, you know, to make sure that it's as safe as it can possibly be, that it flows a little bit better than it does today, that all of these sort of gripes that most American football fans have, me included, there's too many breaks and it takes too long and all that, that we can sort of package this in a much different way, including using technology, you know, at the very front edge. So it's a really neat opportunity, and I loved what I was doing at the NCAA. I'm a, you know, big fan, as you know, Glenn, of college athletics writ large. But this was a very special opportunity to work with a guy who's really remarkable, and Vince McMahon, a tremendous, you know, entrepreneur. And so, you know, I'll be taking over the XFL as commissioner and CEO, and look forward to it in a big, big way.
Oliver, listen, thank you so much for coming on. Can we get you on again during the World Cup? What do you think?
You bet.
I want you to break down Yogi Löw and the German national team, the Mannschaft.
I will happily do that, my friend.
All right.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right. That's Oliver Luck now with the XFL, and a great friend of ours in Houston. Every level of football, and of course, was the president of the Houston Dynamo. So we thank Oliver for coming on. A quick moment here for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Now, they are our second hour presenting sponsor. So John and his firm, they're going to treat your case as if it's their own. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. So go to their website, DaspitLaw.com. John was out at our watch party at FM Kitchen. And speaking of that, you'll probably be over at the Gorgeous Gale when we do our 7 live shows this summer during the World Cup. Let's take a Bud Light break here. A lot more to come. Sixth caller, though, right now, is going to get a $50 gift certificate. Sixth caller to Liberty Kitchen at 713-780-3776. Sixth caller, 713-780-3776. Liberty Kitchen, $50 gift certificate. Let's take a Bud Light break.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Torres in the middle. Fabregas. It slid through. Black stays down. It's in. Iniesta scores. Surely the winning goal for Spain. And Andres Iniesta.
Man, I'm going to miss seeing him play for Barcelona. But we get another crack at him with Spain in the World Cup. That was from the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. We welcome you back. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. And a big thanks to our second hour presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. 713-322-4878. They're bilingual. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They're going to 24/7, nights and weekends, work for you. You go to their website, bilingual, DaspitLaw.com, and you can find out all about their services. But if you're getting in an accident or doesn't matter what type, car, motorbike, boat, industrial, plant, refinery, you need representation. You need somebody to fight for you. And it is the Daspit Law Firm. All right, the Dynamo went down 1-0 in Montreal this past weekend. The squad has looked like a MASH unit. So many people out injured. We'll get a little bit into that. But the team is really, really trying to battle through some injury problems. They've got the Colorado Rapids on Saturday. Tomorrow night, they play North Texas Rayados in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And their USL affiliate had to be tapped into, and signed was Eric Bird, a midfielder from down there. And Eric joins us now from After Dynamo Training. Eric, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I know you from way back in your Virginia career, calling some of the ACC finals and the NCAA College Cups. And, you know, I'm looking at you, and you've made a huge commitment to the pro game, very talented player. And, you know, you finally get your opportunity to really come up here and get your MLS debut. But, it, you know, it's not always glamorous, is it? I mean, you finally got the 90 minutes under your belt, but it's been a hard slog for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it has been. But, I mean, I guess that's part of it, and you kind of learn that in the pro ranks, especially. Not every day is easy, and each day is a challenge. So just got to keep plugging along and, you know, giving it your best.
So when you're down at RSL and you're hoping one day to get – you know, that call that you got, and the call that brings you up and gets you your first 90 minutes against Montreal, you know, is there a sense of relief? You know, what's the range of emotions you go through? Because you've been down there a long time. You've played over 50 games for Rio Grande Valley. In some ways, you're a little out of sight, out of mind with the big team up here in Houston. So what goes through your mind when you get that call and you get that contract signed?
I think it's a pretty wide range of emotions, everywhere from, you know, being extremely excited for the opportunity, being maybe a little bit nervous, to just, you know, being hungry and ready to get after it. And you know, once it finally, you know, goes through and you're here, you know, now you know you have to come to work, you know, with an even higher intensity because the level obviously rises once you come up to the MLS ranks. So wide range of emotions, but and also a sense of pride, you know. So it was a cool experience.
Eric Burr joining us from Virginia Beach, Virginia, played at the University of Virginia, was originally with the Philadelphia Union, loaned out to the Harrisburg City Islanders, then for quite some time now has been at Rio Grande Valley, over 50 appearances, finally gets that call up against Montreal. You know, what did it feel like to be out there in that situation? A very big game, great environment, and you're finally out there where you feel you belong.
Right, yeah, It was, like I said, a bit nervy at first, but once you settle down into the game and things start to slow down a bit, then you realize, you know, you're just playing the sport you've played for forever. And obviously, I got a lot of help from older guys on the team, like DeMarcus Beasley and Felipe Senderos, who, you know, had some words of encouragement before I went out there. And you know, you use that stuff and you use what they give you, and you run with it. And so it was a very cool experience, you know, not including the result. Obviously, we wanted to do better, and that's the most important thing. But for me individually, it was very cool to be out there and represent Dynamo.
How did the manager, Wilmer Cabrera, sort of define your role and the way he wanted to approach this game with, you know, obviously his knowledge, knowing that this was your debut in MLS?
Wilmer was very supportive. He honestly said, go out there and play your game. I worked with Wilmer in my first year when I was down in Rio Grande Valley. He was also the coach down there, so I know him pretty well. And he knows me well as a person and as a player. And he has all the confidence in me, and he said, go out and play my game, be disciplined, you know, connect your passes, and, you know, let the, you know, play take care of itself, so.
In all fairness to you guys, there are five changes to this lineup. You know, you have to sit there and say to yourself, you know, how good can it really be? Because you're making five changes, and you have to expect that some things won't go perfectly in a game like that. We certainly said that on the broadcast before it. How challenging is that? Because, you know, there's a lot of people missing now. It's a team that's in and out. You're there to try and prove yourself individually, and not only that, try to help the team get a result.
Yeah, it's tough. It is, but I mean, as players, you don't really think about it too often. We know these guys; we play with them every single day, and we have confidence in each other's abilities and all the guys on the team. We know they bring quality and they bring their own attributes to the game. So, we try and make the changes that people see from the outside not seem as radical, and we support each other, and so. It is difficult, but at the same time, you know, this is our job and this is what we know. So it's, we try and make the best of it.
This is your moment though, Eric. I mean, you know, the pecking order of midfield players have gone down injured. This has provided you opportunity. It's got to continue to go on for you, right?
Yeah. Whatever they ask of me, honestly, it's up to the coaching staff, and, you know, I'm here for the team first, and obviously I want to be out there individually, but, you know, whatever the team asks of me, I can say that I'll do, and, you know, I'll be selfless and, you know, do whatever I can for the guys that, you know, I'm here with.
He's Eric Burr joining us, University of Virginia, very talented soccer player, got his debut in Major League Soccer in the 1-0 loss to Montreal up in Canada. I'm going to switch gears with you, Eric. The World Cup is coming. What are your thoughts on the overall World Cup? And I guess I'm going to lead you with a leading question here before I ask you about that. How difficult is it for you as a 25-year-old guy who grew up in the American system to not see the U.S. in this World Cup?
It's really difficult, honestly. It's honestly just now setting into me that we're not going to have a team out there. You know, but you can still get excited about soccer. We watch these guys in the other leagues, and then obviously there's guys in MLS that will be represented there as well. So it's still cool to see these international soccer games and see how big the occasion is. And Houston is a very diverse area, so I'm sure there will be a ton of watch parties either way, supporting their own nations, and it'll be very cool.
Yeah, I got a good one for you. Come to the Gorgeous Gale to our official Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 watch party when you can break some games down for us, okay?
I would love to.
Yeah, we'll get you over there. We'll make sure it happens. We need some star quality from the University of Virginia as well. All right, so who, you know, the thing I see out there now is, you know, okay, U.S. isn't in it, and there's all these articles now that you go to your heritage and, where historically your family has come from. So who are you pulling for, if anybody, or do you just want to see good soccer?
I'm pulling for the Polish team. My whole dad's side of the family is from Poland, and so I guess I gotta, by default, it goes to them.
So you're a Robert Lewandowski fan. You're a Lewandowski fan.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think he's a fantastic player.
Group H, Poland, Senegal, Colombia, Japan. I'll tell you what, that's a group that's up for grabs, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we can do well in it.
Yeah, Senegal is going to be dangerous. Colombia and Jaimes Rodriguez. Japan is always competitive. That's that almost in some ways looks like it could be potentially a group of death as well. 19 players from Major League Soccer are represented in this World Cup. And then who do you think runs the table and wins this thing?
Ooh, tough. It's hard to – I think smart money puts it on either the Germans or the Brazilians.
Yep.
Both of those teams have fantastic rosters, and you can even tell by the guys that they don't, you know, that don't even end up making it to the World Cup itself. These guys, these nations are really, really deep, and just it's incredible what they're doing. So either one of those teams, I think, is a safe bet.
And then a lot of people are saying keep an eye on France and Belgium as sort of dark horses. We know they're full of talent. My God, it's ridiculous how much talent through those two teams.
Yeah.
All right, so this weekend, Colorado Rapids, you guys are bouncing back from a game that was a difficult game, I would say, in Montreal. It was your third in 9 days. But first, you got the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. And how important is this been translated to you as far as doing well in the Open Cup as a player and as a team, the Houston Dynamo?
It's very important. Every competition that we play in, we take serious, and obviously we come out with a team that we want to win the game and advance and put on a good show for the fans. So every game is important for us. We're approaching it very seriously, and since we've been back from Montreal, our practices have all been, focused on the Rayados team. So we're looking forward to getting out there and playing against them and doing our best and hopefully getting a W and advancing.
He's Eric Byrd out of the University of Virginia, up now, signed with the Houston Dynamo, made his debut in Major League Soccer in Montreal. Congratulations to you, Eric. Eric, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. I'll see you at the Gorgeous Gale then.
That's a done deal. I'll make sure you get the information through the one and only Hector Casteltort.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you for coming on. Good luck tomorrow night, and we appreciate your time, Eric.
Cheers. Take care. Thanks.
That's great. That's a great story there because, it's not easy having to fight your way and get up to the first team. And obviously, Eric Byrd has done enough to convince Wilmer Cabrera and the Houston Dynamo to sign him. So the Dynamo in Montreal made 5 changes. It was their third game in 9 days. Inordinate amount of injuries right now. I mean, they fall short 1-0. First starts from Memo Rodriguez, Arturo Alvarez, Luis Gil, and Eric Byrd, who debuted. Poor goal conceded. That was the difference. It was Jason Vargas hit a wonderful ball, but the Dynamo weren't able to close him down. And they have considered the Dynamo have hurt themselves on the road. They just cannot get over the hump of conceding poor goals, and it's a problem. They haven't been able to correct it, and that's a real, real challenge for the Houston Dynamo. Again, we remind you, one of the great spots for watching games and going for the Dynamo pregame tomorrow, head over to the Gorgeous Gale, head over to the King's Court down in Edo. Now, the King's Court is right near the Dynamo Stadium. It's got an amazing rooftop deck. Looks right at BBVA Compass Stadium. Great beer selection. Tremendous food in there. Jay is the man who runs the place. It's the home of the Bayou City Blues, the Houston Red Army supporters groups, and El Batallon as well. So get down to the King's Court, say hello to Jay, KingsCourtTXHouston.com, and it's a great spot. And you'll get in there before and after Wednesday night's game, and then get in before and after Saturday night's game against Colorado, the King's Court. And they'll be showing the World Cup there as well. We will have 7 live shows as well over at the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside. Also showing the World Cup this summer will be FM Kitchen and Bar, located 1 block north of Washington on Shepherd. Hit up FM Kitchen and Bar this summer to watch the World Cup from Russia. 13 indoor and outdoor monitors. Great burgers, chicken sandwiches, all kinds of Southern classic food. This is not your ordinary, you know, this is not bar food. This is really, really good stuff. Great beer selection, classic cocktails as well. FM Kitchen and Bar, I was over there with Ryan today, had some lunch there. Dog friendly, kid friendly, catch the World Cup at FM Kitchen and Bar. 94 World Cup defender Marcelo Balboa weighs in on the 94 World Cup, on the U.S. not qualifying, and who he picks to potentially win the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Let's take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN, 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Hey, let me give a shout out to FM Kitchen and Bar. It's located 1 block north of Washington on Shepherd. You can hit up FM Kitchen and Bar this summer. Watch the World Cup from Russia on 13 indoor and outdoor monitors. FM Kitchen and Bar, amazing burgers, chicken sandwiches, Southern classic food, including ribs. They serve breakfast on the weekends. Got a great beer selection. Plus, they do their cocktails well. They're classic cocktails. They're done well. FM Kitchen and Bar, an amazing patio, dog and kid friendly. Catch the World Cup at FM Kitchen and Bar, our newest sponsor, and our thanks to them. And World Cup synonymous with our next guest. Spent 6 years doing HDNet MLS broadcasts with him and national team games. He's Marcelo Balboa. You know him from the 94 and 98 World Cups representing the United States. Cello, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So what's jumping out right now to you about the World Cup in Russia as we're just a couple of days out now?
You know, I think the fact that, you know, you're looking at a bunch of teams right now and no one can really say, no, it's Brazil or it's Germany. You know, I mean, it really is one of those World Cups where I think at any time you look at someone like Belgium or France could jump in there. I think there'll be a few surprises like always, but, you know, I got to say it's odd. It's odd because this is the first time for me that the World Cup, there's no United States. So it's just kind of an odd feeling, you know, I mean, waiting and then you realize your team's not in it.
Are you getting the whole vibe now of, hey, you got to choose another team and, you know, what's your heritage? In my case, it might be German. And, okay, I've always liked the German national team anyway. But my point is, do you have to have a dog in the fight? Can't you just watch the World Cup and the amazing athletes and players that are on display?
No, I think that you go back and you look at your heritage and you look at a bunch of different things. And do you have to have a horse in the race? No. But, man, it makes it much more exciting when you got a team to root for and cheer for. And so, you know what, I'm going to jump on the Argentine bandwagon because Mom and Dad are from Argentina. And I've got Belgium because Belgium is another team, I think, that has the players to win it. So, but, listen, I'm just excited. We wait 4 years for this excitement, this biggest tournament in the world. So I don't have a horse in it, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I'm going to vouch for you on your Argentine roots because I've been to your parents' house and had that incredible Argentine meats and barbecue with our great friend, may he rest in peace, Daryl Ewald, and our HDNet staff. But that was always a nice fringe benefit of having games in L.A.
You know, the Univision guys get the benefit from that now. We've gone a few times now, and Pops has pulled out the Argentine grill with chorizo and all the meat.
Yeah,
and
I saw
banana.
The pictures.
So,
I was very jealous.
You know,
I was jealous.
We love it.
I was very jealous. Those were great times. All right, speaking of Argentina, this is what also interests me. The way teams, you know, in this brief window after finishing their seasons in most cases, not all, but how they approach the World Cup and how they're coming into it. So, for instance, you know, we get news that Argentina and Israel's friendly, which was going to be played on Saturday near Jerusalem, it's canceled now because of, you know, political uprisings there and obviously the whole Palestinian and Israeli conflict there. How does that throw teams off? You know, injury. It's just fascinating to see how these teams are approaching this.
Yeah, listen, I think that, you know, better safe than sorry with the players and such a high-profile game with Messi and Aguero and those guys. So, listen, one game isn't worth, you know, preparing or something happening. So I get the fact that if they don't feel safe, you don't play the game, you move on. But it does hurt Argentina's chances. It does hurt Argentina's preparation because these games are important. You're trying to get these guys fit. You're trying to get them in shape. You're trying to get them into a system because you want to go into the World Cup hitting on all cylinders. And Argentina players, most of the players, the league finished a month ago. So, you know, I think you just got to look at it and say it is what it is, and you got to find other ways to keep preparing.
Take me into Argentina a little bit deeper. I think there's a lot of sentiment around the world that would love to see Messi, based on his performances for Barcelona, lift the World Cup for Argentina. They're in Group D with Iceland, Croatia, and Nigeria. Very, very interesting group with very differing teams. Some people are saying it's all Messi. He doesn't have the supporting cast. I'm not sure I buy that. Do you?
I think offensively, this is a team that's very strong with Di Maria, with Aguero. You've got Higuain. You've got so much talent going forward. But let's go back to defensively. I think this is where they're going to struggle. This is where they struggled against Spain. This is where they've struggled in World Cup qualifiers, giving up goals and not, you know, they rely on Messi, which is great going forward. But you got to be able to defend in the World Cup. And I think if they don't get out of their group, because it's a tough group, it's not an easy group. It's going to be the defensive side of it that's not strong enough to support the offensive side.
And, of course, Sergio Romero has been apparently ruled out their number one goalkeeper as well, so that complicates things.
Well, again, I wasn't a big fan of him to begin with.
Yep.
So, again, I think he's and I'm Argentinian, I think he's just above average goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
But you need more than that to win a World Cup.
Marcelo Balboa joining us. All right, let's go back to 1994. Now, I'm just, you know, I always think of you guys and such a young team and guys that were pioneering and, you know, trying to make the game more popular in this country. It still remains the most attended World Cup ever back in 1994. And we're talking about that ahead of the U.S. Unified bid with Canada and Mexico potentially winning out over Morocco for 2026. But how about taking us into that moment, the first moment you stepped on the field, whistle blows, and you're playing in a World Cup?
Ooh, you know, it was in Detroit in 94. We were playing against Switzerland, and to be honest with you, it was just panic. You know what I mean? It was us walking out there and having so much pressure to have to win, not you know what I mean, not lose. That was the important thing. We had to find a way to get a result. And to be honest, it was just a bunch of guys who've been training for 2 years together, finally coming together, finally stepping out on the field. And we did what we needed to do. You know what I mean? We got the result. But walking out on that field was your heart's pounding. You're out of breath. You're trying to catch your breath. You're trying to talk to your teammates. You can't hear anything so loud. It's already humid in the dome, so, but it's one of the most wonderful experiences you'll ever experience in your life.
Yeah, that was at the Pontiac Silver Dome in Detroit. I believe it ended 1-1 with Switzerland, correct?
Yeah, yes, 1-1 with Ronaldo scoring the free kick goal.
Eric Winalda had the free kick. So, you know, when I think of that and people say, oh, well, what pressure could be on U.S. players? There was a tremendous amount of pressure because the sport needed to thrive in this country, and this was this was a platform and a moment hosting a World Cup in front of everybody that you don't, well, we've only had it once. So as much as people will say, well, you know, it's all about the Argentinas and the teams that have to win it that get the pressure, I think there was tremendous pressure on you guys.
No, I agree. I think that first time the World Cup was ever held in the United States, people really weren't sure about soccer, you know what I mean? The U.S. team, people kind of looked at it and wasn't really sure what we had. So we were more than just soccer players. We were ambassadors. We were promoters. We were everything you could think of. So we knew going into that World Cup, from the federation to the media, we knew we had to do everything we can to get out of that group. We had to get out of the group in order to keep growing the game of soccer, from MLS to push forward, because everybody talked about the league after 94. So, listen, when you talk about things going right, you talk about the stars aligning. We've played Colombia how many times in the 3 years leading up to that World Cup? We've never beat them, Glenn. Never beat them that day. An own goal, we get the second goal from Ernie Stewart, and all of a sudden we beat Colombia, who was the favorite, who beat Argentina 5-0 in Argentina. So, I mean, everything just fell perfectly for us in that World Cup.
He's Marcelo Balboa joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. All right, Marcelo, so I'm going to fast forward now, and you look at this squad that failed to qualify, could not get a result in Trinidad.
Yeah.
For me personally, you know, failure in leadership, I think a lack of humility, a lot of things that really came back to hurt the United States. Now, these are now athletes, comparatively speaking, to when you were in the World Cup in 94.
Yeah.
These are very well-paid men. Does that irk you a little bit? Because you guys were fighters. You were scrappers. You were hanging off tree limbs trying to grab attention for the game of soccer. You know, you got Alexi doing his thing. You know, you guys are doing anything to gain attention you possibly could. And then you see the way that this plays out. And I just wonder what goes through the mind of guys like yourselves from that team.
You know, I think we were all, and I won't speak for it, but I'll speak for myself. I was very disappointed, Glenn, because you know, we didn't have the $6 million contracts. We didn't have the opportunity these guys had to go to Europe and play. We were scratching and fighting for people to see who we were in 94 so they would give us an opportunity. And we got the opportunity. I got to go to Mexico, Lexi to Italy. But they went away from who the U.S. is. And I think that's what I think irked everybody. We're a team who fights and scratches and has passion and heart when we step out on the field. And when you walk out on the field, now you watch the players in this World Cup or in this World Cup qualifier, it was a different mentality. You know, you got players afterwards throwing the coach under the bus like Jeff Cameron. You know, if I remember correctly, Bruce Arena wasn't on the field today. Jeff Cameron passed the ball and gave it up to Costa Rica, to Ureña, who scored that goal. So I felt like there was a lot of blaming of people. You know, at the end
but
of the day.
But to be fair, it came from Arena as well. He threw the team under the bus as well, to be fair.
Yeah,
it worked both ways.
I felt like everybody blamed each other. No one took responsibility. Listen, the responsibility started from Sunil. You know what I mean? It has to. And not in a bad way, but he's the president. He hired Bruce Arena. He brought him in. And again, listen, Glenn, you go back to all the games during World Cup qualifier. Bruce did something he hasn't done all World Cup qualifier. That last game, he started the exact same team that played against Panama and didn't get a result. Every other game, he switched 3 to 5 players, and he got a result in Honduras. He got a result in Mexico. And that game, he kept the exact same lineup to reward them. Reward them for what? You have to win. You need fresh bodies. The grass was thick. It was wet. Guys were tired. That was a mistake for me. Huge mistake.
Yeah, that was actually very, very bizarre, wasn't it? It was incredibly strange. And I think some of the things that Bruce Arena said after that, you know, he tried to defend making that move. It seemed like he was pretty indecisive. And I don't think there's any question that, you know, there was a lack of respect for an opponent. I think that was a part of this whole scenario down in Trinidad and Tobago.
You know, I think we had, you know, and you can't speak for the players, but I was there. I went to training. I saw the game. And I think it was like a lot of people thought, you know what? We're playing Trinidad and Trinidad. It's the second team. We should walk over these guys with the players we have. And surprise, surprise, Trinidad came out and played. They scored early. They pressed. And the U.S., listen, I thought the U.S. was tired. From what I was watching, I saw guys that were fatigued. I saw guys that couldn't run. I saw guys that couldn't sprint. And that's what I'm saying. I think there was a mistake on the fact that we started the exact same team that played 3 days before.
Yeah, I mean, I thought somebody put something in their drinking water, honestly, the first 45 minutes. There looked like no ambition and desire to get to a World Cup and finish things off. I guess they assumed that they were already in it. He's Marcelo Balboa joining us here for Soccer Matters. ESPN 97.5. So now that you've kind of factored through that and processed the fact that the United States is not in it, do you see this as a healthy time to really move the game in a different direction in this country? Because it does need some new ideas. It needs to be freshened up. Everybody's defending their positions and their involvement in it. But if we just look with a clear conscience here, what needs to change in maybe some general terms here?
But you know what? I think that it's already had. You know what I mean? Sometimes you've got to take a step backwards to take two steps forward. And I think that's what the United States Soccer Federation did. That's what U.S. Soccer did. Have you seen these young men who have played in the last three friendlies?
Yep.
We've got players. We've got kids that are talented. They're playing in Europe, and now they're getting that opportunity. And I think this is what we needed. This is the group. Some of these kids should have been integrated already into the national team last year. But I think that's where there's a disconnection between the under-20s. Under-23s didn't qualify, so there's a huge gap. You know, you couldn't see these players playing in the Olympics because we didn't qualify. So for me now, I think the Federation made a mistake too. I'd have given the team to Tav Ramos only because he knows the under-20s. He's got everybody scouted, being the technical director of the youth side. That's where I think the U.S. made a mistake. You've got the resources. Start integrating these young players, not when it's too late. Now it was too late. We're done. But the good thing is we get to see these kids play.
So we're hearing lots of names bandied around. Tav Ramos is one of them. I've heard Carlos Quiroz. We've even heard Arsene Wenger. What type of manager do you want to see for the United States in the future? And if, in fact, Ernie Stewart gets the GM job, do you really think he's going to be able to have the autonomy to make soccer decisions without being second and triple guessed by everybody else above him?
No, I think the other one that's been thrown around, I've heard quite a bit, is Juan Carlos Osorio.
Correct.
And that's a big one. You know, being a guy who knows the U.S., knows the players, knows the system. No, I don't. I think that they're still going to have to go through Dan Flynn to make that decision because he's the guy that runs the Federation from day to day because he lives in Chicago. He's the CEO. So I think if Ernie gets the job, he'll have a say-so, a strong say-so. But I think at the end of the day, I think everybody knows who it's going to come down to.
Well, wait till after the World Cup to get that one figured out, I'm
sure.
Exactly. Marcelo, any picks to win this World Cup again? Anybody that you think out and out wins it?
You know, I think you can always go with the obvious ones, Glenn.
Yep.
I like Belgium. For some reason, Belgium hits me right now, mm-hmm. and so does France. France, to me, are two teams that I think that are, when you look at from back to front, they're strong. They've got players with a lot of experience. They got players who can attack. They can defend. They're playing at high levels. So, you know, then from there, you can always go to Brazil. And I think Spain looks good. I mean, what they did to Argentina. So I think there's a few teams. I'm not sold on Germany this year. I'm not sold on Germany. I'm still not sold on Brazil. But I'm sold on Belgium and France right now.
All right. You heard it. I like those two choices. Certainly, they're stock full of talent. I've seen the French in some of their friendlies. I saw them have a great 45 minutes and then in a second half struggle and get torn apart by Didier Deschamps, their manager. But, boy, you have just mentioned two teams that have talent through and through on every line of the team. Marcelo, thank you so much.
They're not the favorites.
No, they're not. So maybe they're the dark horse that provides a little element of surprise and likes being maybe not the favorite. Thank you so much for coming on, as always, Marcelo.
Anytime, buddy.
All right. That's Marcelo Balboa, 94 World Cup. You remember all his great play in Major League Soccer as well, played down in Mexico. Great to get his comments there on the 94 World Cup and the current U.S. situation as well. Hey, don't forget, the World Cup is here. The games are going to be played during working hours. There's only one thing that's going to make us able to survive this catastrophe. It's our friends. With them, it's easier to sneak from your boss, make up excuses, and extend your lunch break to 90-something minutes. So here's to the friends you can always count on. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the 2018 World Cup and proud sponsor of Soccer Matters. For Jose Partida, I'm Glenn Davis. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Until next Wednesday, Soccer Matters.
97.5.